Morning. We left off last week on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara is trying to establish the din that Basa B'Cholav is Asa B'Achila. Welcome back. Shalom Aleichem. That Basa B'Cholav is Asa B'Achila and Asa B'Anua. The Pasuk in Chumash only says, you're not allowed to cook. But the Mishnah assumed that Basa B'Cholav Deraisa is Asa B'Achila and Asa B'Anua. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the Moker? So last week we started, we'll have to review again for the Hemshech HaGemara. So right in the middle of Kuf Yudal and Beis, Amar Abashi, where the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Dvorim, from chapter Yudal. Abashi says, you have a Pasuk in Dvorim, Lo Sechol Kol Ta'eva. You're not allowed to eat anything that's abominable. So what's it called, abominable? So he darshan Kol Shetiavti Lecho Harevav Al Techol. Anything that you're not allowed to bring into existence, like you're not allowed to cook Pasuk B'Cholav, you're not allowed to create basa b'chalav, it's an abominable thing. So the pasuk means you're not allowed to eat that. Then the Gemara says, v'ainly, so we discussed, we better do it again, then we discussed, Rashi has a comment on that Gemara. One could have argued the point and said it's only considered a ta'eva if a Jew cooked the basa b'chalav. What if a goy cooks the basa b'chalav? So no avera was done, nothing terrible happened. The goyim are allowed to cook basa b'chalav. So how do you know that you're not allowed to eat basa b'chalav, even cooked by a goy? So Rashi says, no, it's also included in the same pasuk kol she'tiavti lecho. That was the question, how does he know that? So we explained last week, kol she'tiavti lecho, that was a tshuva in the Beis Efraim, we said, kol she'tiavti lecho only applies if the chepetz is a davar hametuav. If a person did something improper, but bringing this thing about into existence, that per se is nothing wrong. So then the object, the food, is not considered a davar hametuav. So the prohibition against cooking basa b'chalav is not so much you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to bring basa b'chalav into existence. That's the shaila in Shulchan Aruch they have at the beginning of Simen Pei Zayin, the beginning of Hilchas Basa B'Cholav. What if someone already cooked basa b'chalav? And I go and I put it back on top of the fire and I cook it again a second time. Is that also a prohibition of Bishul Basa B'Cholav? Right. So here there's a local svara to say that there should be no Isser Deraisa here, should be no Isser, because the prohibition of cooking Basa B'Cholav is not an Isser to cook. It's an Isser, don't bring into existence a Chefetz of Basa B'Cholav. This Chefetz is despicable. It's a Dova Hamatuav. Don't bring it into, but if it already exists, the thing already is basa b'chalav. Someone before me, the goy already cooked it. Already is basa b'chalav. So there's no prohibition on me. So that's where Avashi is assuming. The cheftze of basa b'chalav is a dover hamatu of the nature of the prohibition of lois avashil is not so much don't cook. It means don't bring into existence basa b'chalav. So the cheftze is a dover hamatu of, that's how I know that you're not allowed to eat it. Then he proceeds to say, and how do you know it's also banu? The Ainli Ella Bachilo. So far it just says Lo Sechel Kol Te'eva Bal Techel. You only see it's Asa Bachilo. How do you know it's Asa Bahanua? The Pasuk doesn't say Bahanua, it just says Lo Sechel. So the Gemara Kid Rabbi Abo. We know Rabbi Abo made a comment. The Omer Rabbi Abo, Omer Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Abo was talking about other things. Abo was talking about Chometz. The main comment of Rabbi Abo is in Psochim in the second parak. The Gemara in Psochim has a machlekes hatanoim whether chometz bepesach is also b'hanua or not. We paskin chometz bepesach is also b'hanua, and you're not allowed to, let's say on Pesach I'm going to walk by a goyish bakery because I enjoy smelling, not that I'm on my way to shul, I want to go out of my way to smell the freshly baked bread or cake and cookies. So says Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to go out of your way to get hanua from the freshly baked chometz on Pesach. Chomet shal agoy is also asa b'hanua, not only chomet shal Yisrael. Chomet shal agoy, there's no bal yura, by matzah, it's owned by non-Jew, but it's still asa b'achila, asa b'hanua. So the Gemara there discusses, how do you know? Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, Chametz b'Pesach is muta b'ano. How do we know that it's also b'ano? So Rabbi Abo is quoted, Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Lozer, it gives you a klal. It says, since it says, Chol machmetzes lo yisachelu, you're not allowed to eat chametz. Whenever it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat something, it's self-understood that it includes also an isa hano. You have kuf yud dalet on the base? Kuf, yeah. Kuf yud dalet. Omid base. With the Gemara. He's going to establish. How does he know? Kol Malkim Shenema. Anytime it says a chumash, the Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you know which macholas asuras are rasa banua, which macholas asuras are muta banua? The veilu trei for is rasa bachila muta banua. Basa b'chalav is a machlekes hatanoim. Whether it's also banam muta banam, chametz b'pesach is a machlekes hatanoim. Different things. Kloy hakerem orla arasa banam. How do you know which macholas asuras arasa banam, which are muta? So Rabbi Abo quotes the following brisa. There's a komokim shenemar lo yochel lo sochla lo sochla. Whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, it's self understood that included is whenever it says it's as machila, self understood that it's also asa b'ano, unless you have a pasuk proving otherwise. The stoma is that it's asa b'ano, or machmolas asuris on principle, or asa b'ano, achiyifran loch akasuv, unless you have a pasuk. Akasuv means a pasuk that's beferish, saying that it's an exception to the rule. Kedarch shepard lochot b'nevela. What does it say by nevela? Nevela means, what's nevela? What's treif? Nevela means meat in the A&P that didn't have a proper shechita. To have a nochri kill it, even if the nochri shechts in accordance with the laws of shechita, it's still called a nevela. Shechita san nochri is not acceptable. So nevela means flesh that didn't have a proper shechita. Treifa means the behemoth had a perfect proper shechita, but it's a diseased animal. You check, sometimes you can tell why the animal is alive. It has a broken leg, has a hole in the brain, whatever, has a hole in the kishkas. And a lot of times you won't know till after you shecht it. You check inside, you'll see that it's a diseased animal. So that's a treifa. So the pasuk says regarding nevela, l'sochel kol nevela, what should you do if you have a nevela? L'ger asher b'sherecha titnana v'achola, give it to a ger. How can you give it to a ger? The ger is Jewish. How can the ger eat the nevela? The answer is not referring to a ger tosha. A ger tzedek is a non-Jew who converted to become a Jew, is chayv in all the mitzvahs like everybody else. A ger tosha means a non-Jew who accepted upon himself in the presence of a bezin of three Jews not to observe all the 613 mitzvahs, just he obligates himself to observe the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach. That's the question. What do you mean he accepts upon himself the obligation to observe the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach? What he accepts, he doesn't accept. He's chayv anyway. So what changes his accepting? So the Gemara says that a non-Jew, even if he observes the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach, doesn't get the full reward. He gets, if a woman volunteers to shake a lulav, so she gets reward, but she only gets a reward less than a man. A man is Mitzvah V'yaisa, so the Gemara says he deserves more reward. And the woman who's ain't a Mitzvah V'yaisa, she's volunteering on her own, not Mechuyev, she gets less reward. The Gemara has a machlekes whether that's so. It should have been the reverse, that if a woman volunteers, it's lifnei mishur sadin, she should get more reward. How come the Gemara comes to the conclusion that the mitzvah of the Isa, the man who shakes the lulav, gets more reward than a woman who shakes the lulav? The Gemara doesn't explain why. So the Tosis explains why. Tosis has a famous explanation. Tosis says, whenever a person is obligated to fulfill a mitzvah, he always has a yetzahara telling him, don't listen, show who's the boss. You show the Rabbanu Shlomo, you're the boss, you don't have to listen. A woman is not mechuyev to do the mitzvah, so she doesn't have a yetzahara pushing her not to do it. So the women find it much easier to volunteer to do the lulav than a man. A man finds it difficult. And the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that the reward is given not so much in accordance with how important the mitzvah was, but rather lefum tzara agra, according to how difficult it was to observe the mitzvah. So the man who has a yetzahara, because he's mechuyev, he has a yetzahara not to do it, so by him it's more difficult to get to do the mitzvahs. And the women who volunteer out of the goodness of their heart to shake a lulav, they don't have any yetzahara not to, so they deserve less reward. That's what Tosfos says. Okay, others give a different explanation. So some explain, Rabbi Yosef Engel explains, in the Sefer on Yerideya, in Siman Beis, when they talk about a ger and a ger toshav, so he explains, if a nochri observes the Sheva Mitzvahs ben enoyach, so he ought to get reward like a mitzvah v'yosef, he's obligated to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Navi, Ruah Vayata Goyim. The pasuk says when the Rabbanu Shalom was about to give the Torah at Har Sinai, he looked around to see what's doing with the Umas Olam. Are they observing the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nach that they were given? So he saw that the Shvach, they're not observing the Sheva Mitzvahs. Amad Vaymeidet Eretz Ruah Vayata Goyim. That's the Haftorah on Shavuos, I think. It's from Avadia or something. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked around, he saw the Umas Olam are not observing the Sheva Mitzvahs. So he said, okay, if you can't, this is too difficult, so I'm a vata, you don't have to. So Gemara said, what do you mean? And came Matzino Chayte Niskar, because they sinned. So now they're rewarded, now they're off the hook, they don't have to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. So Gemara says, no, he was Matelahem, that even if they'll observe the Sheva Mitzvahs, they won't get reward like a Mitzvah V'yosa, they'll only get reward like an Enem Mitzvah V'yosa. So that's Rabbi Yosef Engel says, that by the Ger Toshav, the non-Jew who comes in the presence of three Yisraelim and says, I want to obligate myself, I want to accept upon myself to abide by the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoyach, he was obligated anyway from before, so this makes him into a Mitzvah V'yosef and he'll get more reward. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel says. So bottom line, it's only an nafkamina for reward. It's not an nafkamina lemaisa about how much he's obligated to observe. It's a little bit doichik. So the Avnei Nezer has a whole fantastic tshuva. He thinks not so. He thinks that the Ger Toshav who comes in the presence of a bezdin of three Jews and obligates himself to observe all of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoyach is accepting him by himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs with all of the pitchivkis, with all of the details, all the dinim that are related to those Sheva Mitzvahs. The Gemara even has a possibility, a discussion, maybe a Ger Toshav is obligated to observe Shabbos. Why? Because the Ger Toshav accepts upon herself not to worship Abed Zarah, and our observance of Shabbos is to testify that we believe in the story of creation. We believe God existed, God created the world in 6 days, and He rested after the 6 days of creation. So the Gemara says, "Bayasta Zedin, whoever is Mahal Shabbos Befrahesia, Dina Ka'ovid Abed Zarah." Because observance of Shabbos is your way of testifying, your way of subscribing to the fact that God created the world, and He's the Balabos over the whole world. So Gemara had a svara to say, it says in the Aseres HaDibra, so you're not allowed to do malacha, ato bin chalitech v'gercha shev b'sharecha. So Rashi comments on Chumash, what do you mean? Ato uvincha uvitecha. Your children are also ato. Ato is not only referring to the people who were standing in Har Sinai, even the people who were born 50 generations later. We are all ato. Whoever is bar mitzvah is ato. So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Mechilta, Bincha Bitecha refers to the children before Bar Mitzvah. Ata is only, Lo Sasgom Malacha Ata, whoever is after Bar Mitzvah is Ata. But the children before Bar Mitzvah, the Torah is not speaking to them. So the Torah has a prohibition, I'm not allowed to ask my child to do a Malacha for me. If I have a little child who's before Bar Mitzvah, it's an Issa Deraisif and Aseres Adibris to encourage the child to do a Malacha on Shabbos for me. And even if the kid does the Malacha on his own for me, I have to stop him. The kid does malacha on his own for his own purposes. That's a discussion in the Gemara. But if he does on his own a malacha for the parents, parents have an obligation to stop. So that's the mashmas of the pasuk. Ata uvincha v'itecha. And what's gercha sheb sharecha? What is that referring to? So it can't be referring to a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek is ata. He's included in ata. So gercha sheb sharecha means a ger toshav. So the several tanoim increases. Daftes had a discussion. We should really understand pshat in the pasuk that a ger toshav is not allowed to be machal Shabbos because he accepted upon himself to observe avodah zarah. Ben kovako, even if he wouldn't have accepted, he's obligated to observe the sheva mitzvahs, which include the prohibition of avodah zarah. So what is nischadish by his acceptance? So several tanoim are of the opinion he's obligated to observe Shabbos to enhance his observance of avodah zarah. Machal Shabbos befer hesed dina ko over avodah zarah because he's not demonstrating that he believes in the story of creation. So Ger Toshav, who accepts upon himself not to worship Abed Azara, has to observe Shabbos. That's on the one hand. He ought to. On the other hand, we have a pasuk in Parshas Noach that a Ben Noach is not allowed to observe Shabbos. Shabbos is something special, unique only for Bnei Yisrael. So the first Tana makes a compromise and increases Daftes. First Tana makes a compromise, he says that the Ger Toshav is obligated to observe Shabbos like we would observe Yontif. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos like we observe Shabbos, but he has to observe Shabbos the way we observe Yontif, in other words, with a Heter Echel Nefesh. The next Tana disagrees, Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shimon. So the second Tana disagrees, and he says, what do you mean? Shabbos is unique for the Jewish people, Yontif is also unique for the Jewish people. If the Ben Noach, if the Ger Toshav will observe Shabbos like we observe Yontif, it'll still be a violation of intruding on the privacy between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. There's a special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael regarding Shabbos, and Numa Solom are not allowed to observe Shabbos. Even if it'll observe Shabbos like we observe Yontif, it'll also be a problem. But on the other hand, we want that he should observe Shabbos to enhance his observance of not worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the second Tana says, yeah, he's obligated to observe Shabbos like we observe Chol HaMoed. Then the Gemara says, we don't paskin like either of the first two Tanoim. We paskin like Halachik Reb Shimon. The third Tana is the Tana Reb Shimon Baichoi, that the Ger Toshav is not permitted, even if he'll observe like Chol HaMoed, is also a violation of Nachri Shushabbos Chayiv Misa. The Ger Toshav is not allowed to observe Shabbos at all. So, like that question, so what does it say in that Aseres HaDibros? The Ger Chashev B'Sharecha. So Tosfos in Yevamos writes, the Gemara in Krisus leaves you hanging. The Gemara doesn't say what's pshat in the Pasuk. The whole Tanoim, the whole story of the Tanoim began because you have a Pasuk in Aseres HaDibros, and Sasuk HaMalacha, the Ger Chashev B'Sharecha. So the first two Tanoim said it means that a Ger Toshav has to observe Shabbos at least somewhat to the extent that we observe Yontif, or to the extent that we observe Chol HaMoed. So the third Tana doesn't explain the Pasuk. So Tosfos says, no, just like Atovin Chavitecho, I'm not allowed to have my children do Malacha for me, even though the child is very young. That's an Issa Deraisa, that's an Aseres HaDibros. So I'm not allowed to ask a Ger Toshav to do Malacha for me, that's an Issa Deraisa. I'm here in Nochri to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for me, that's only with the Rabbanan. Where'd they get it from? Usually called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came the Raisa Tikkun, all the Dinim the Rabbanan. A pattern after some kind of an already existing din deraisa. So where is there a din deraisa? So Tosfos says, this is it. If you ask a Ger Toshav to do malacha for you, that's an isa deraisa. If you ask a guy, that's only an isa derabban.
But why? If the Ger Toshav is ever cleared on Shabbos Eve, which is by regular, why is he different than
a non-Jew? He should have had Shabbos, but he's not allowed to. Should have had Shabbos to enhance his observance of not worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the Torah says he's not allowed to observe Shabbos. We should be the ones to encourage him to be Mechal Shabbos. That's not right. Because he really should have been obligated.
Because I'm stopping him from observing Shabbos, I have Misa. The fact that I make him Mechal Shabbos,
so the Gemara says not so. The Pasuk Mechomisha understands not so. That's an Issa Deraisa. Yeah.
But you didn't do yourself.
Aren't there any other possibilities for what a gear could refer to besides gear notion and gear type? For example, a person who's half free, half not free. An eved who is half free, half not free.
That's called a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben charen. He's not called a gear. Gear is either gear tzedek, a non-Jew who converted, or gear toshav. Why is he called a gear toshav? Because usually you're not permitted to allow non-Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. Le'yesh will be artzcha pen yachtiu oischali. Then you have a pasuk lo sechonim. Lo sechonim is a difficult pasuk in Chumash Dvarim. L'sitan lehem chanoi b'karka. You're not allowed to let a non-Jew live in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have the Israeli government doesn't have the ability to observe that din. They'd observe that din, there'd be a world war. So it's a pikach nefesh. So they don't observe that din. But and if the fellow is a Ger Toshav, he accepts upon himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach, so then he's called Ger Toshav. He's permitted to live in Eretz Yisrael. He's not allowed to live in Yerushalayim, that's a Pasuk in Navi, but he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the Ir HaTzedek. So some say a Ger Tzedek, why do you call him a Ger Tzedek? I say Ger Tzedek is allowed to live even in the Ir HaTzedek. That's what some say. Pasha Pshat, the Ger Tzedek means, as opposed to, there are two gerim. There's a ger, let's say, a non-Jew decides he wants to convert because he wants to marry a Jewish girl. And he accepts upon himself to share all the 613 mitzvahs, and he observes it, but he's not really religiously inspired. If not for the girl, he wouldn't have converted. He wants a job in the Israeli army, a job in the Israeli government. So if he's not going to convert, they're not going to give him a job. So we paskin that the geiris is valid, provided that there is a kabbalas al mitzvahs. But it wasn't really so pure. So that's called a ger. The geiris is valid, even though he was not religiously motivated. And if he was religiously motivated, then we call him a ger tzedek. That's a higher madriga. There's a ger, and there's a ger tzedek. And some paskin hold, Rav Soloveitchik taught like this in the Rambam, that the special mitzvah of a hafta mesager, you have to go out of your way to be kind to Gerim, as opposed to all other Jews. You have to go out of your way. Only applies to the Ger Tzedek, who is religiously motivated to convert. Stama, goy converted because he wants to marry a Jewish girl. So I'm chuyif to go out of my way to give him a job and everything. I'll treat him like all the other Jews. You don't have to treat him something special. But if he was religiously motivated to convert, don't say it's Ger Tzedek. So the word ger either means a ger tzedek, a convert, or a ger toshav. Ger toshav is allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. So again, so the pasuk says in Chumash, we're not permitted to eat nevela. What do you do if you have a whole herd of animals? One animal drops dead, or the shechet was shechting the animal and he slipped, the knife slipped, and he did a poor job and he made it into a nevela. So what do you do if you have nevela? So it's also b'hano. So the pasuk says, no, it's not also b'hano. It says, you're permitted to give it to a ger toshav, because the ger toshav is not obligated to observe kashrus. He only accepted upon himself to observe the sheva mitzvahs v'ninach. So he can give it to a ger toshav, and he's allowed to eat it. Or you're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. Sell it to a non-Jew is fine. So do you take the pasuk literally? You can either give it to a ger toshav or sell it to a non-Jew. What if I want to give it to a non-Jew? What if I want to give it to a non-Jew? Is that permissible? So that's a machleika satanoim. So this Rabbi Abo quotes this. He's going to prove his point. Whenever it says Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Abo quotes in the name of Rabbi Lazar. Lazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan from Eretz Yisrael. So he says Kol makom shenem lo yachol lo sochlu lo sochlu. Whenever it says in the Chumash that some food is not kosher, you're not allowed to eat it. It's itself understood that all macholos asurus are also bano, unless you have a beferish rayon from a pasuk in chumash that is muta bano, also bano. Achiyif eloch hakosuk v'derech shepard lochan ve. Unless you have a beferish pasuk that excludes it and says that it's muta bano, as it says by nevela. What does it say by nevela? It says lager b'nesina lov kachavim b'mechira detanya. Let's see the brisa. L'sechu kol nevela lager shavashachet tenan avachola amachal anochi. So Reb Meir is speaking and says, "Only a little ger benesina, the pasuk only allows me to give the nevela meat to a ger toishav as a gift, ulav kachavim b'mechira, or to sell it to an anjou. What about to do farker? The ger b'mechira minayin? Ah, funny, hava mina. There should be also to sell it to ger. I'm not so. Let's say the nevela is worth $2,000. This nevela meat, so I'm chayiv to give it all to the ger toishav. $2,000 worth of meat." I'll give him $50 a maton. I'm chayiv to give everything to the ger toshav. How do you know you're allowed to sell it leger b'mechira minayin? How do you know you're permitted to sell it to the ger toshav? Why not? What's the chiddush? Talmud Lomer, you read the pasuk like this: leger b'shecha tidnana v'achala o mocher. Period. So the verb tidnana and mocher both go on the ger. After mocher, you have a semicolon. Then the brisa asks, how do you know lav duchav bin esina minayin? How do you know you're allowed to give it as a gift to a non-Jew? The pasuk says you're allowed to sell it to a nochri. How do you know you're permitted to give it as a gift? Talmud Lomer again, you read it as if the both verbs go on the nochri. Talmud Lomer, titnenu amochal anochri. It really doesn't say like that. It says you give it to the ger, or you sell it to the nochri. So he says, no, the way the pasuk is constructed, it could have been written differently. The way it's written, so the both verbs, titnenu amochal, can go on either. Could go either on the ger or on the nochri. So that's how we established nimtza. What's the upshot to the drasha? After you darsh in the pus, echad ger, echad ov kechavim, bein milchir, bein minasina. There's no divrei Reb Meir. A Meir's opinion is that there's no isa. What would have been an isa? What would you have thought been an isa? So the Gemara explains this is an avodah zarah daf chof amarav. The Gemara explains there in Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yudah disagrees with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yudah says it's not correct, and we pass like Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yudah says Dvarim kichsavam. The pasuk can only be as it says explicitly. Dahainu lager b'nesina Lav kechavim b'mechira. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? What are you not allowed to do? Let's have $2,000 worth of nevela meats. I'm not allowed to sell it to a ger toishav. Nah, that's not what he meant. He didn't mean to aser to a ger toishav b'mechira. He meant to aser to give a matana to a nochri. There's another pasuk. That's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chof and Manav explains. There's another pasuk in Chumash Dvarim that's a very difficult pasuk. Poshut. How do you translate Pshut Shel Mikra? It says Lo Sechonim. When you commentary, it's Israel and going to be all different nations all of the Avodah Zarah. You got to be careful. Lo Sechonim. So what does it mean Lo Sechonim? So Gemara has three different interpretations, three different ways to understand the verb Lo Sechonim. What's the root of the verb? So one pshat is it comes from Miloshen Chinam. To give a matnas chinam, lo yisachanim, you're not permitted to give a matnas chinam to a nochri. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says over here. Rabbi Yehuda didn't mean to say that you're not allowed to sell it to a ger toishav. There's nothing wrong with selling to a ger toishav. He meant the other half. You're not allowed to give it to a nochri. You're only permitted to give a matana to a ger toishav. You're not permitted to give a matana to a nochri. That's an isa. Lo yisachanim, lo yisitan lahem matnas chinam. Then the Gemara has a second level of interpretation. That is Miloshen Chayin. Lo Yisachanim, Lo Yisachanim, Lo Yisachanim Be'enechem. You're not allowed to praise a Nochri. You're going to praise a Nochri, he's such a good football player, so you're going to hang up his picture, and you're going to have all the cards, and read all the magazines, and everything. You're going to become so enamored of this Nochri, and the Nochri does Kol Davar Aser. He's a good football player. He's a good painter. He's a good professor. Yeah, but he does other things that are not lefi ruach haTorah. So if you're going to use him as a hero, so then you're going to be nimshach after his style of living, and it's a taignish. And then the Gemara has a third level of interpretation, and the pasuk that the root, the verb that we made a verb lo sechanim is miloshen chanoya lo sitan lem chanoya bekarka. You shouldn't allow a non-Jew to live in Eretz Yisrael. The only non-Jew who is permitted to live in Eretz Yisrael is the ger, toishav, the non-Jew who commits himself in the presence of a bezin of three Jews to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs ben Noach, that says, Imcha Yeshe Bikirbech. You may allow him to live in all of Eretz Yisrael except for Yerushalayim. That's the Pasuk in Navi. You're not allowed to let a ger toishav live in Yerushalayim.
Could that be Hedyotos or that would be Mokushar?
No, Hedyotos also, yeah. Doesn't have to be Mumchum, no. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Chav, the three levels of interpretation. The word Lo Sechanim is Miloshen Chinam and Miloshen Chanoya, to live in Eretz Yisrael, and Miloshen Chayim, Miloshen Chayim. I remember years ago, I was once in Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of Chodesh Elul. So Mosada Rav Kook has the Easter. I don't know if they still have. They had Kinus Torah Shebal Peh. So I had, I think, a few days in a row, Monday through Thursday, I think. Every day they had around five rabbis gave shiurim. They picked one topic, and they had 25 rabbanim. For 5 days in a row, every day they had five rabbanim give a shiur, and they had a break in the middle for lunch, and you can buy svarim, the Mosad Rav Kook svarim at a hanocha. So I remember once Rav Zhulti was still alive. This was a long time ago. Rav Zhulti was alive, so he was speaking about the Israeli government, the Ministry of Tourism, always advertises all over in America and all over the world, everyone should come tour Eretz Yisrael. So he said, that's a problem. Encouraging non-Jews to come and tour Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam writes Mefurish, not only is it prohibited, lo sechonim, lo sitlam chanoi bekaki, you're not allowed to sell a property to a non-Jew, that it should belong to the non-Jew, you're not allowed to invite non-Jews to tour Eretz Yisrael. To visit Eretz Yisrael is also awesome. Machlek is the Rambam and the Rabbi. So the Rambam says even to tour. So he wanted to close down the whole Ministry of Tourism. And I think there are twice or three times as many non-Jews touring, many more non-Jews, Christians, touring Eretz Yisrael than there are Jews. Non-Jews love to tour Eretz Yisrael. So he said, strictly speaking, it's also, it's Keneged Adin. Brings in a lot of money. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara says, again, so the Gemara says like this. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain what the machlokes is. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that it's only Dvarim Kichsov? Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree with Reb Meir? Reb Meir says that both verbs apply equally to the Ger Toishav and to the Nochri, and it's permissible to give a matana to the Nochri. Reb Meir doesn't agree with this Lo Sechanim. L'sitan lahem matan schinim. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. In we paskin like Rabbi Yudah. We paskin all the three pshatim and lois tachanim. They're all three levels of interpretation, and they're all deraisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that there can be three levels of interpretation, and they're all accepted. It can be more than three levels of interpretation, and they're all accepted. They're not asmachtes. They're all accepted, and they're all on a level of deraisa.
Why do you say there's three levels of interpretation? Why do you say the lav shebichlolos?
Maybe it is lav shebichlolos. Okay, but still, you're translating the word tzachanim with three different levels of interpretation. We accept all three. It will be a lav shebichlolos. Okay. Lav shebichlolos is a din that you don't get malchus. You only get malchus for violating an aver, which is similar to lo sachsim shobedishai, because the pasuk in chumish dvarim midarshin smuchim. If you have one pasuk next to the other, we assume in chumish dvarim that there's a connection between the two. So the pasuk of hayon bin hakos harasha appears right next to the pasuk. It's adjacent to the pasuk of lo sachsim shobedishai. So the Gemara says, in order to get malchus, one has to violate a lav, which is dumi the lav da chasima. So one of the examples of a lav of an aver which is not dumi the lav da chasima is a lav which is called a lav shebichlolos. You have a one pasuk and it has more than one level of interpretation, like losochlo al adam. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin daf samach gimel. That's an example. The Gemara says there are five levels of interpretation, so there's no malchus on anything. So this one also there probably wouldn't be any malchus on all the three levels of interpretation. It's an isa deraisa, but because it's not sufficiently similar to Lasachsum Shabbadishai, so it wouldn't warrant any malchus. So the Gemara explains, what is the machlekes over here between Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Meir? We're going to go back to Rabbi Bo. Before we go back, what's the my time to Rabbi Yudah? How does Rabbi Yudah know that Rabbi Meir is wrong? Rabbi Meir says that both verbs, titnena or mocher, apply both to the Nochri and to the Gertosha. Why does Rabbi Yudah say it does not apply to both? If Rabbi Meir is right, that the verb titnena and the verb mocher goes both on the Nochri and on the Gertoshev, lichtav rachmana l'sechu kol neveilo, l'gerish abshecha titnena v'achala u'mocher. Let it say with a vav. Why does it say o'mocher? It says either this or that. It doesn't say titnena u'mocher. It says titnena o'mocher. Oy, lamali, why does it say A or B? Shema mina, you can't do your combination. You're not allowed to give a matana to the Nochri. Matana is only muta to the Gertoshev. If it would have been like Rav Meir claims that the both verbs apply to both the Nochri and the Gertoshev, we should have said avav, not a no. Shema mina d'varim
kilsom. So then, how can you sell it to a Gertoshev?
The Chumash means that there's something not permissible here. So which is not permissible? So Rabbi Yudah holds that other pasuk loisachanim. Without loisachanim, I wouldn't know pshat over here, and without this pasuk of the I wouldn't know this third pshat in loisachanim. So bo zeh belimid al zeh, the pasuk loisachanim sheds light on this pasuk that davke dvarim kechsavan only comes to exclude giving it as a gift to the goy. The self to the gatoshev, I don't need a pasuk. That's self understood. If it's mutabano, it's mutabano. It's mashma, something is not mutter, some form of hanor is not mutter, so that form of hanor we understand means to give it as a matana to the goy, based on loy sechanim. And if you wouldn't have had this pasuk, you would have said, loy sechanim goes on chanoi, bekarka goes on leisa chen beinechem. It would never occur to me to say that there's a third level of interpretation. That's what Tosis explains there in Avodah Zarah Daf Chof. You need the two psukim to shed light on each other. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara there. The two psukim show together, you figure out the pshat. Freg di gemara v'Rab Meir amalach. It's a gerechta taina what Rabbi Yudah says. If Rab Meir is right that the both verbs titnena and mocher go both on the Nochri and on the Gertoshev, so why does it say O? It sounds like either A or B, and something is not permissible. Rab Meir says everything is okay, so why does it say O? Rab Meir amalach, no. Hi, O. The reason why it says you should do A or B, you can do A, B, C, D. You can give it a matana to the goy. You can sell it to the goy. Everything. All four are muta. How come it says O? Oh, no, lahagdim nesina digir lemechira dav kachom. It says in the pasuk, lagerish avshacha titnena. Preferred is you should give at least some of it. You don't have to give the whole $2,000 worth of nevela flesh to the gertoshev if you can't afford it. It's a fortune of money. You should give some of it to the gertoshev. And second best is O Mochel Anochri. The first choice is to give. So that's Lahagdim. The Pasuk says, oh, to tell me there's a preference over here. If you give Tzedakah to a Gertoshev, that's the Fadinta Mitzvah. Lahagdim Nesina the Ger, like any Ger, the Goyim are not happy. Why he converted to become a Jew? And the Jews are very bigoted. We are not. We don't deal favorably with the Gerim. It's not right. We don't deal nicely with the Gerim. So the same is true regarding a Ger Toshav. The Jews are not going to be mekarvim. It's the Chagoy. He's not Jewish. Can't be mitzarvim to the minyan. The Goyim are not going to be happy either. He rejected Avodah Zarah. He went in front of a panel of three Jews and he committed himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvah Minhag. So no one's going to be nice to him. So the Torah says it's a mitzvah l'hachyos. You have to go out of your way and help him out a little bit. So that's what Rav Meir says. The reason why it says A or B, A, B, C, and D, all four are mutter, basically. But it says l'hagdim, to tell you that it's a preference, nesin and diger l'mechir d'av kechom. Freg di gemara v'Reb Yehuda, this haguta svar. How does Reb Yehuda know that O is an indication that the both verbs don't go on both? Maybe Reb Meir is right, that both verbs, this titnena, amocha, go both on ger, and on get katoshev, and on nochri. And the reason why it says O is l'hagdim. So Reb Yehuda says, nah, that I know from other psukim. Reb Yehuda argues, l'hagdim and sinu diger, l'mchir dov kacham lo tzorach kro, I don't need a pasuk. Svarahu. That I know on my own based on other psukim, and Vayikra, other psukim. Zeh, this one, the Gertosh Vata Mitzuva Lachyosa, there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. There's a pasuk in the middle of Vayikra where it talks about a Gertosh, and it says, Vechei Achicha Imach. Vechei Achicha Imach means you should give tzedakah to the other people. So the pasuk, Vechei Achicha Imach, even refers to a Gertosh, that there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to a Gertosh. It sounds like there's no mitzvah to give tzedakah to an Achri. The Gemara says, "Mefarnesim ani yakumim ani yisom mepnei dakei shalom." The Gemara says, "Mid the rabbanon, you have to give tzedakah to the nochrim also. Mepnei dakei shalom. We're only going to give about charities to the Jews. Not going to give any charity to the nochrim. So it's going to cause friction. So mid the rabbanon, you have to give to the nochrim as well. So that's interesting. So that's only mid the rabbanon mepnei dakei shalom. If there's an issue of dakei shalom, but if the fellow is a ger toshav, then it's not only dakei shalom." It's a real chiyuv to give tzedakah to the ger toshav. So the Rambam writes something very interesting. What do you mean when you say that it's only mefarnesim aniyei akum is only mid the rabbanim mipnei dakei shalom? But the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tilim, "Veracham aval kol masov." You have to rachmanis on behemoth also. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on the behemoth. Verachamov al kol masov. Rabbanu Shalom has rachmanis and v'halachta bedrachov. You have to go in the ways of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So we also have Rachmanis on behemoths and on non-Jews as well. So how can you say no mitzvah to give tzedakah to the nochrim? So the Rambam writes like this: there is a mitzvah to give tzedakah to the nochrim also, but not if he's an oibid avodah zarah. Sometimes, a lot of times, it says in the Gemara, "Akum" means ovid kachal and mazalas. But sometimes it really means a non-Jew who worships avodah zarah. And a lot of times it just means a non-Jew. So the Rambam understands that in this Gemara, "Mefarnesim aniyei akum im aniyei Yisrael" means davka ovdei avodah zarah. If there's a nochri, he's not ovdei avodah zarah, then you mechuyav ben atorah to give tzedakah because of the pasuk "Verachem aval kol masav." Is like Gora from a behemoth. You have to have rachmanis on the behemoths also.
The Gemara doesn't distinguish between the regular and nothing.
No, the Gemara does not distinguish. But the Rambam writes like this, based on other Gemaras, that there is a biblical obligation to give tzedakah to a nochri if he's not an oved avodah zarah. But if it's an oved avodah zarah, then it doesn't deserve anything. He deserves to be punished. He's oved avodah zarah. So then you shouldn't give him any tzedakah. The oved avodah zarah is worse than the behemoth. Behemoth didn't do any sin. That's how the Mishnah in the end of Kiddushin says. The Rabbanu Shalom created the behemoth, so you have to be nice to the behemoth. The Rabbanu Shalom created people, so if we do Avodas Hashem, then we're Kavachayma, we deserve, people should treat us nicely. But if I sin, then I'm lower than a behemoth. I don't deserve any breaks at all. So that's what the Rambam writes. If the Nochri is an Oyver Avodah Zarah, then he doesn't deserve any tzedakah. You shouldn't give him any tzedakah at all. Then the Gemara comes in and says, you have to give tzedakah mipnei darkei shalom. So that's what the Gemara says. Zeh the ger toshav atam mitzuva lachiyosav. Zeh the nochri atam mitzuva lachiyosav. There's no mitzvah b'cheyach chimach by a nochri. The mitzvah is only by ger toshav. So lahakdim abad no amayom. So why does it say O? So O means only A or B, and something is aser, but not mechirit to the ger toshav. That doesn't make sense. That should be aser. Abud is gunning out to aser the nesina to the goy, because of lo sechonim. You're not allowed to give a matana. A matan schinim to the goy. Let's say a lot of Tosfos in Pesachim quotes a Tosefta. Let's say my next door neighbor, who's very helpful to me, he's my Shabbos guy. I always call him in when I need something on Shabbos, or he does favors for me, I do favors for him. So if he's a Nochri Hamakiro, then it's not called the Matzah Schino. Then whatever you're going to give him, he certainly is going to reciprocate. He's going to give you some, he's going to give thank you by give you services, I'll give you a Matan also sometime. The only time it's prohibited to give a Matan Schinim to a Nochri, if it's a Nochri Sheinem Akiro, a Nochri I have no Shaychus with, and he's not going to reciprocate, then it's called Matan Schinim. But if he's going to reciprocate, then it's not Bechinim. You should be over on Matan Schinim. If not for the Chiyuv Mid Rabbanon, the Mefarnes of Maniakim, I need some Pnei Dakir Shalom. So the Dakir Shalom means I'm going to get back Shalom. There is Taka Machlekes, the Ramah in Yeridei and Hilchas Tzedakah quotes a Machlekes in the Rishonim when it said Mefarnes Mani Yakum Imani Yisrael. So the Ramah thinks that the more correct opinion is if there's a Nochri and a Yid standing next to each other, and I'm going to give Tzedakah to the Yehudi, I'm not going to give to the Nochri, so I'm mamish discriminating. So then it's going to be a problem of Dark Yishon. But let's say I'm sitting on the trains, and there's a Nochri going up and down the trains, and he wants to collect from Tzedakah. I'm not giving to anybody. I'm not giving to any Yehudim. So there is no discrimination there. So the Ramah thinks that in such a case, there's not Dark Yishon. He quotes those who disagree. And the others say, no, if they're next to each other, they're going to give to the Ani Yisrael, not going to give to the Ani Yakum, that'll cause friction. That'll be a problem of Dark Yishon. So let's get back. So the Rabbi Abbo quotes in the name of Rab Lozer, and Amor Rab Lozer, he says, according to Rab Meir, what is the Pasuk telling me? It says, what can you do with Nevela Flesh? Whatever you want. A, B, C, D, you can do whatever you want. So what's the whole significance of that whole phrase? Etc. Means that it's mutabano. That's what the pasuk means, that nevela is mutabano. Why would I have thought nevela is osabano? Just says the sochel kol nevela. Just says it's osabachila. Why would it occur to me that it should be osabano? So from this pasuk, from the fact that the pasuk entertain a havamina, the pasuk has to tell me that nevela is mutabano, is a raya that whenever it says lo sochlu or lo yochlu or lo sayochel, whatever, it's also banu. Stam is also banu, unless you have a beferish pasuk to say that it's mutabano.
What is bishul fit into this?
No, bishul is the only thing that's explicit. It says v'asu bashuk di b'chalev imay. Oh no, the veilu you can cook all you want. Yeah.
But it says lo sochlu only refers to banu.
Right, also banu, but bishul you can do. Let's say I'm a chef, I cook in a restaurant. They tell me to cook nevela. So I can cook nevela. They're non-Jewish customers, I can cook nevela. They pay me a salary, that's okay. If they pay me a salary to sell basa b'chalav sandwiches, basa b'chalav is also ba'ana. If it's basa b'chalav, they're ice. If it's basa b'chalav, they're ice, also ba'ana. So I'm getting a salary. I'm a truck driver. So they ask me to deliver basa b'chalav sandwiches. So they ask me, I'm a cashier. So I'm a waiter in a restaurant. Well, I have to deliver, I have to give the customers basa b'chalav their rice. So I'm making money on Isuri Hanor, that's awesome. But if it's nevela, I can cook it, I can drive the truck, I can be the waiter in the restaurant, there's no problem, I just can't eat it. It's muta b'hanor, it's muta to make money on it. Yeah.
I thought making a business out of machalas asuris is
also. Schor b'machalas asuris, if I'm the owner of the restaurant, then it's schor b'machalas asuris. But if the restaurant owner is not Jewish, and I'm a waiter, or I'm the cashier, or I'm the chef, so that's not, I'm not doing this schar. Schar means I buy it wholesale and I sell it retail and I make a profit with the schar. So that's also.
What's the
Gemara learns that from the Mishnah in Shavuos learns that from a pasuk. If my father died and my father was in the non-kosher meat business and it leaves me $25,000, $100,000 worth of nevela meat, so I am allowed to sell it. I fell in over here. But let's say I go hunting. So I'm hunting for kosher animals. I set out traps. A non-kosher animal gets caught. So I'm not allowed to deal in business with it. So the Mishnah says, if I really was out to get kosher animals. And it happens that my trap happened to trap a non-kosher animal. So that's permissible to sell it. But to go out of my way to do business with non-kosher meat, to have a non-kosher meat business, so that's chorab ha-macholos ha-sur, that you're not allowed to do. So the Mishnah learns it out from a pasuk which is really not that convincing. The pasuk not that convincing. So many poskim hold that this whole din, that the schorab ha-macholos ha-sur is asur, many hold that it's only midirabbanon. They hold that it's not an isa deras. Machlaikas, the Taz and others in Yeridayim. Whether the isa schorab ha-macholos ha-sur is their isa derabbanon. Yeah, so most assume that it's only an asmachta. When the Nazis, before the Nazis killed all the Jews, so first they gave them a hard time, they cut them, they can't do this business, that business, the other business. They cut them out of so many businesses, so they had, there was hardly anything left. So b'koshi, they were allowed to be in a non-kosher restaurant business. So the shaila was, but it's chorab ha-macholos ha-suris. So this Sridi Yesh lived in Berlin at that time, so he wrote a whole tshuva, it's only the Rabbanus, so therefore there's room to be mekel under difficult circumstances. They kvetched ois haterim, and the haterim didn't help, they killed all the Jews anyway at the end of the story. Yeah. So the Gemara says like this, if you hold like Rab Meir, that the pasuk means that all A, B, C, D, everything is mutan, mechira anesina to the ger toshav, mechira anesina to the nachri, everything is mutar. So what does that pasuk tell you? That nevela is muta bano. So you see, you would have thought, if not for that pasuk, you would have thought nevela is also bano, because whenever it says l'sachlu, all machalos hasuris include an isra ano, unless you have otherwise. But if you're all like Reb Yudah, that's not what the pasuk says. There is no havamina that nevela would be also bano. The pasuk writes in such a complicated way to tell you that you're not allowed to give a gift to a nochri. But then the pasuk is not telling me that nevela is muta bano. Why would I have thought that it's also bano? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have no marker to say. And we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We don't pass like Rabbi Meir. So this whole argument of Rabbi Abu Amar Rabbi Lazar is all based on Rabbi Meir. That's how the Gemara explains himself. The whole thing is all based on Rabbi Meir.
Isn't similar also to Machlokes between with the Kelev and Efrenzona also, it could be the reverse?
No, there the Gemara says not. It's not awesome. Mechir Zayna and an Esnan Kelev is Mutta. Only Mechir Kelev and Esnan Zayna.
But that's not
Machlekes
at all?
Yeah? No, that's not a Machlekes. Shinuyim. Hein that's Machlekes Bisham and Bisil. If he gave the Zayna grapes and she has Be'esnan and she squeezes out, she makes wine, she's a religious woman, just that's what she does for a living. She's a Zayna. So she's a very holy woman. She brings Karbonis to the Beis HaMikdash. My father told me that this is apparently a common thing. Whenever you build a shul, so the Jewish prostitutes feel a little guilty for their good to Meisim Tovim, so they'd always like to give a big donation to the shul as a kapara. So the Mogen Avraham says that just like there's a din of chumash, you're not allowed to accept as a korban an esnan zayna, so you're not allowed to accept donations for the shul. If you know all money came from prostitution, you're not allowed to accept such money for the shul. Strictly speaking, you're allowed to accept it even in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to accept if this bottle of wine was given the matana, this animal was the esnan zayna. This was given the matana. But if the man gave a cash, and the cash is not going to be offered as the korban, so strictly speaking, that's permissible. But the Magen Avraham quotes this chum. You shouldn't accept a donation from the Zionists when you build the shul. Yeah. So we have a difficult din by us. We live in America, it's hard for us to understand this din. We have a din that Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos, is Doicha all the dinim in the Torah. It's only Pikuach Nefesh of a Yehudi. Pikuach Nefesh of a Nachri is not Doicha Shabbos. It's already many centuries that we don't follow that din. So the Poskim wrote from the 1800s, if you won't go out of your way to be Michal Shabbos to save the Nachri, they'll make a pogrom. They're going to find out the Jews don't care to save their lives. So you have to be Michal Shabbos because it's Pekuach Nefesh for us. We have no choice. But strictly speaking, the Halacha says, on the books, the Halacha says that Pekuach Nefesh of a Nachri is not Doicha Shabbos. Many years ago, when Rabbi Unterman was the chief rabbi, so they wrote up in Israeli newspapers a whole story that never wasn't. There was Lohoyva La Nivra, that a black diplomat from one of the African countries was walking in Meir Shorim. He was run over by a car. It's already Mezuyif. There are no cars in Meir Shorim on Shabbos. The whole story, Mezuyif Mitochma. That's the way they printed the newspapers. This non-Jewish black man, a diplomat, was run over by a car, Meir Shorim, and nobody lifted a telephone to call Hatzol or anything, and he died. And they let the Nachri die because they followed the halacha that Pikoch Nevesh of a Nachri is not Dech Hashem. So the press, the secular press in Eretz, they're always attacking the religious. So they were attacking for more than a half a year. And then they finally wrote that the whole story never happened. The whole thing was a make-believe story. So before they printed that it never happened, before they realized that, so at that time Rabbi Unterman was the chief rabbi, and he happened to visit America, and whenever the chief rabbi visits America, he always gets a shiur in Yeshiva University. So he spoke in Lampert Auditorium. So he felt compelled to address that issue. So he gave a ganze talk. Rav Soloveitchik didn't go at that time. He was angry about something, so he didn't attend the shiur. So he asked the students, what did Rav Unterman say? So they told him that he said in his shiur that Pikuach Nefesh of a Nachri is Dech HaShabbat, because the Pasuk says, Derechea Darchei Noam, Chol Nisi V'Seav Shalom, that the Torah has to be Darchei Noam, and the Gemara in Yevamos learns out halachas based on Darchei Noam. The Gemara learns out halachas if it's unclear how to read a Pasuk, so then you read the Pasuk in such a way that it's Darchei Noam. But if you have something that said Pikuach Nefesh of a Nachri is not Dech HaShabbat, there's no way, there's no room to negotiate over here. So that's what he said, that Pekach Nevesh HaMenachri is Derech HaShabbos because of Darchei Noam. So when they told it over to Rav Soloveitchik, he was very upset. He said that it's Dvarim B'Teilim. He said, Pekach Nevesh HaMenachri is Derech HaShabbos. The Hungarian Rabbanim said centuries ago because they'll make a pogrom, that's why. It's not because of Darchei Noam. He was very upset about that. So there are those who argue that Pekach Nevesh of Ger Toshav is Derech HaShabbos. Because the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that a Ger Toshav is mitzvah l'hachayosa. The Gemara says Ger Toshav is mitzvah l'hachayosa. That's not a Ramban. Ramban just quoting the Gemara. The Gemara says zeh to mitzvah l'hachayosa. The Ger Toshav is a mitzvah l'hachayosa. So one of the Rabbanim, it was a Rav.
To repair, to heal him. L'hachayosa, you mean to heal him?
To take care of him.
So in the context of the Gemara, it just means a mitzvah to give tzedakah. The Chayachich Imach in the Pasuk and Chumash doesn't mean to keep him alive. It means to give tzedakah to the Jew and to give tzedakah to the Ger Toshav. There's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to the Ger Toshav. So one of the Rabbanim in Toronto wrote this interpretation. One of the big Rabbanim in Toronto wrote this interpretation. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvah says, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a Ger Toshav. It still doesn't help because Bizman is that there's no Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav, the Gemara says, Ger Toshav is on the Noig, Bizman Shayovel Noig. We haven't had Yovel for many, many, many centuries. Yovel ceased to exist at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. During the Bayis Sheni period, there was no Yovel. Because in order to have Yovel, you have to have Kol Yoshvehu Aleho. We haven't had for many centuries. So there is no Ger Toshav. What? Earlier, even earlier. Yeah, that's right. The Gemara says Yovel stopped even before the Churban Bayis Rishon. That's the Gemara, that's right. Rav Kook has a Shver Vort. As a shver avot, Rav Kook. People think that Rav Kook was the one who invented the het mechira, b'shnas hashmita. He didn't invent it. The het mechira was invented in the 1600s by the Sfaradish gedolim. And Rav Kook became, when he came from Europe, he came to Yafo. He was the Rav in Yafo first, and later they made him the chief rabbi in Yerushalayim. When he was the Rav in Yafo, the Rav before him introduced the het mechira. The Rav before him, because the badats, the Badats refused to make a Heta Mechira. So even when they told some Balabatim, you need a Heta Mechira, they didn't want to touch him. So they said, go to the Rav in Yafo. So the Rav in Yafo, he was the one who put out the Siddur Agro. He did a lot, he knew a lot of Kabbalah, I forgot his name. He was a big Talmid Chacham. So when he passed away, so Rav Kook took over the Rabbanus. So whoever is the Rav in Yafo has to, like whoever is the rabbi in the young Israel of Flatbush, has to supervise the Erev in Flatbush. Because Rabbi Shoffman was the rabbi in young Israel, he made the Erev. Whoever takes over the shul, the Jewish center, has to supervise the Erev in Manhattan. Because when Rabbi Lamb was the rabbi in the Jewish center, he made the Erev. So all the rabbis after him, that's part of their job. It's part of their job in that shul to supervise that Erev. So Rav Kook took over the Rabbanus in Yafo. Part of the job description was he has to take care of the Het HaMechira. So he introduced certain chumras. And every couple of years, every time there's another Shemitah, they introduce more chumras and more digdukim. And recently, the last Het HaMechira, the last Shemitah, so they introduced some chumras from Rabbi Yashiv. He didn't hold Het HaMechira, but he told those who are making Het HaMechira, they should introduce more chumras. So Rav Kook, one of the chumras he introduced was the following. that one of the major problems is the whole Heta Mechira, the whole idea that if you sell a land to a non-Jew, you don't have to observe the laws of Shemitah, is all based on a passage in the Gemara, whether you're reading it right or not, that's the whole dispute, on the assumption that Shemitah today is only Midirabbanan. So then, if you sell it to a non-Jew, maybe the laws don't apply. So you want to avoid violation of Shemitah Derabbanan. So they go ahead and they sell a land to an Arab and they violate a Nisa Deraisa of Lo Sechanim. So they're running away from a Nisa Derabbanan. They go and they violate a Nisa Deraisa. That's what the Netziv Tainan, that's what the Chazon Ish Tainan, that's what many have such a time. So they defended, they caught the Marshal, and Avni Nezer has. They're a major Mekilim. They explain why it's not a problem. Really, the major reason why they said it's mutter is Lo Sechanim is you're not allowed to sell a karka to a non-Jew, the Toivas HaNochri. Here, Nochri is doing us a Toiva. He knows he's doing us a favor. If he'll buy the land, he will give us permission to run the economy and to work the field during Shnas HaShemitah. So he's really doing us a favor. Not we're doing him a favor by selling the land to him. He's doing us a favor that we can run the kibbutz, even in Shnas HaShemitah. So Rav Kook wanted to address that also. Rav Kook learned by the Netziv. And the Netziv was very opposed to the whole Heta Mechira. So Rav Kook was a big fan of the Netziv, and the Netziv liked him very much. So he wanted to improve the Heta Mechira. So he introduced the Chumrah. Instead of selling Eretz Yisrael to a Christian Arab, they should sell to a Muslim Arab. What's the difference, a Christian or a Muslim? So he said the Christians are clearly in violation. They worship the Trinity. So they're in violation of Avodah Zarah. The Muslims are Unitarians. They believe that Muhammad was a prophet, a Nabi HaShekher, but they don't worship Avodah Zarah. So they basically observe all the Shevi Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So Rav Kook quotes in the name of one of the Rabbanim from his Bezdin in Yafo. The name didn't register by me, I never heard of the name. So he quotes in his name. He wrote a sefer, Shabbos Ha'or, it's all the laws of Shemitah, all of his Chidushim. There's a section where he talks about the Heta Mechira. So he says, rather than sell to a Christian Nochri, a Christian Arab, and possibly be in violation of the law of Lo Sechanim, sell to a Muslim Arab, maybe the Muslims have a din of Ger Toshev. The Gemara says that Ger Toshev is only Noig Bizman Shah Yovel Noig, and we haven't had Yovel for many centuries, since before the Churban Bayis Rishon. So he says this Talmud Chacham from his Bezin suggested maybe that means other aspects, other dinim of Ger Toshev don't apply. Bizman Shah Yovel Noig, Yovel Noig. But this din, that in Lois Chanim not to sell him a part in Eretz Israel, that's because they're going to cause us to sin, like Le'yeshva the Artzcha Pen Yachtiu Aischali. But if he know that he committed himself to the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. True, he never had an official Kabbalah's Sheva Mitzvahs in the presence of the Bezno, three Jews, but he says it's like Mekubal V'yayimet. Everybody knows that all the Muslims subscribe to the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. The question is, how much do they observe it? They never do Gzela. They never do Gilei Arayis. But officially, they accept it. On the books, they officially accept it. So that's what he quoted. One of the Gdolim thought this was an improvement in the Heta Mechira. Rather than sell to a Christian Arab, they should sell to a Muslim Arab. So maybe that removes, maybe they have a din of Ger Toshev, and they get to this din, and they get to all the other dinim. Now, maybe when they get to this din, because the whole prohibition of Lo Sechanim is, because Le'esh Uli Artzel HaPen Yachti Oishchali. So if officially he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, he's a Unitarian, so then that problem should be solved. So that was the question.
So what's the Noahide Jews have that live in the United States today?
What is what?
The Noahide Jews that live in the United States. It's a whole big group of them.
Right, right.
So they're just what?
Nah, we usually assume not like Rabbi, not like Rav Kook's Chiddush. There's no din of Ger Toshev. His man is a. Doesn't apply. His man Shein Yovel Noig. There's no Ger Toshev. Nah. It's a shver, but then he gets stuck. Then Rav Kook gets stuck because. If the Muslim Arabs have begun their Ger Toshev, I can't use them as a Shabbos guy. Because Amir al-Nochri is an Issa Deraisa to ask a Ger Toshev to do Malacha for me. It's only the Rabbanon by a Nochri who's not a Ger Toshev. So when it's only the Rabbanon, then you have a Kula. If the cow has to be milked because of Tzad Balachayim, so if you don't milk the cow, it's going to have pain. So we're Mekel. If there's a Sreifa, so you make up to save the Sifrei Torah, various kulas in Amir al-Nochri. But if the Nochri is a Ger Toshev, so then Amir al-Nochri should be the Raisa. So that's when he questions. He says, no, b'neged to all the other dinim is a nishkin get toshim. Because the Oran HaByoivel is not knowing. Only b'neged to this one din of Loisachanim, this is what the Talmud Chacham suggested. Since this prohibition of Loisachanim is based on Le'yesh v'yartzcha, penyach tiyu ha'ischali, so this one perhaps shouldn't apply. No. So that's what they observe. They observe that chumra from that the member of Rav Kook's Bezin, rather than to sell him, earlier generation used to sell to a Christian Arab. So in recent years, since Rav Kook, the last 70 years, 80 years, so they only sell to a Muslim Arab. So this is the Gemara. The Gemara established based on the Psukim that whatever is Zosa Bachila, Zosa Banu, and the Basa Bachalov is Zosa Bachila because it's a Dava Hamatuov. So it's a violation. It's a dava hametuav. So therefore, I know losochel utzasa bachila, and whatever is asa bachila is asa bano. Shreg the Gemara on the last line. Is that true? Ela meyato. If this is true, that any dava hametuav is asa bachila, so what if somebody cooks on Shabbos? A Jew cooks food on Shabbos. He violated the malacha of. If I'd like to do some Alecha Shabbos, so I should say that you're not allowed to eat the food. The Tanoim have a machlek, so there's a penalty with the Rabbanon. So Meir Rabbi Yudah have a machlek as to what extent did they make the penalty? Whether Konsu Shog got the Mezid, or Lo Konsu Shog got the Mezid? Did they only make the penalty if the Jew cooked the Mezid, or even if he cooked, even if it's Machal Shabbos B'Shog? Craig the Gemara, but it should be an Issa Deraisa. What kind of a penalty? Ela Meyato, if this is a bona fide Rosh, Lo Sech Lo Kol Te'evo, let it be also to eat the food that was cooked on Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us you're not allowed to cook food on Shabbos. And for the Gemara, that's an exception to the rule. On Akroa, the Pasuk says, Ki Kodesh Yilochem. So we darshan, the day of Shabbos has Kedusha. He Kodesh, Vei Maseh HaKodesh. The Mashmos of the Pasuk is that Shabbos is a day of Kedusha, but the food that you cooked on Shabbos is not Kodesh, so it's Mutabano. Mutabano. Mutabibishul and Mutabano. Then the Gemara continues. We're going to discuss this a little more soon. Freg the Gemara, what about Chorish Bishor Bachamor, Bachosim Pipar Bidoshpo, Litzuru? Let's say I plow a field, and then I plant, and the pears grow. I plow the field with the assistance of a Shor Bachamor. So that's a lav in the Chumash, lo sachresh b'shor b'chamor yachdov. The original pasuk is lo sachresh b'shor b'chamor yachdov. The din applies even if you have a shor b'chamor pulling a wagon. It's the same Issa. Whenever you have a shor b'chamor together, doing some activity together, that's an Issa. So the Gemara asks, whatever you planted in that field after having the shor b'chamor plow the field, whatever grows should be also b'achila. It should be kol shetiyavti l'cho. And the same thing, Chosim Pipara B'doshba. Torah says, Lo Sachsim Shor B'Dishoy, if the behemoth is doing work with food that was Gedule Karka, you're not allowed to muzzle the animal up. So you're not allowed to muzzle the animal, so in the normal course of events, the animal will eat $5 worth of food. If you muzzle the animal, so you're going to have $5 worth, $5 more worth of food. Not only going to have $1,000, you'll have $1,005 worth of food. So I should say the $5 worth of the food that the animal did the dish on should be also bachila. Is that so? Litzeru, let it all be also. Why? Because hoti afti lecho. And for the Gemara, no, it's a kal v'chaymer. Mash de mash Shabbos hashto umash Shabbos dachamira. Shabbos is so chomer, it's an isa koris and an isa misa. Nevertheless, you have a pasuk maseh mutarim. Maaseh Shabbos is muta because you have a pasuk hikodesh. These two, namely Chorish B'Shor B'Chamor and Chosim P'Par B'Doshbo, these are Kal V'Chomer, because it's not at all as Chomer as Shabbos. So just like the Pasuk tells us that Shabbos is an exception to the rule, so these are also going to be an exception to the rule. So why don't you say Basel B'Cholov should also be? Basel B'Cholov is also no Chorish and there's no Misa. So why did they decide that is Toeva and this is not Toeva? So that's what the Ritva explains, what we started again from. It's only called losechel kol te'evo if the chepetz is a dava hametuv. When you mechal, if a goy cooks food on Shabbos, gizun tehei, there's no problem. I can encourage the goy to cook the food on Shabbos. There's no lifnei, but there's no problem. If a Jew cooks food on Shabbos, the gaver did an avera. He is mechal Shabbos. But it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that no food should be cooked on Shabbos. No. Cook all the food. Let food be cooked all over the world. Let everyone have a good time. The Jews should not be mechal Shabbos. It's an isa on the gaver. It's not an isa on the chefs. In Chorish B'Shor V'Chamor, it's an isa pulula. It's not that the isa chalos. Not that the result. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the result. And Chosim Pora B'Doshba, it's an isa pulula. It's not an isa. The result is not an isa. The pulula is an isa. So whenever the whole isa is only an isa pulula, so then it's not covered, it's not included in the pasuk L'Sechu Kol Te'eva, because the Hefta is not Metuav. So that's a Kavu Chaimer from Shabbos, that's Mutah, because Shabbos is not an Issa Chalois. It's an Issa Pu'ula. But Basa B'Cholav is an Issa Chalois. The Torah prohibits us from cooking Basa B'Cholav because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to bring about a matzav that there should be Basa B'Cholav in the world. That's why Rashi wrote on the very first comment, L'Sechu Kol Te'eva, even if a goy cooks it. Why is it even if a goy cooks it? Because the dover is a dover hamatuv. It's not because the gavra did a maisa to Eva. The chept is a dover hamatuv. That's the Ritzvah explains this on our daf.
General, is there an issa lifnei Eva by a goy?
There is an issa lifnei Eva by a goy, yeah. If you lead the goy on to eat Eva menachai, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to give Eva menachai to a non-Jew, because that's one of the seven mitzvahs ben inoich, yeah. But to give mechazah, that's okay. Chazah, to give him basa. Give basa b'chalav. Basa b'chalav is also b'ano. So if I give basa b'chalav, if he's a nachri hamakir, he'll be repaying the toiva to me, and I'll be getting a toiva in exchange for the basa b'chalav. So that's called getting ano.
But
strictly speaking, should be muta, but it's also because of loisel chanim, because we pass on like Rabbi Yudi, and not allowed to give a matnas chinim.
If you put the basa b'chalav like in the hallway. And you don't know who's getting it. Is that
also I don't think so. Let's say if you have some basa b'chalav, that's also b'ano. So if you're going to give it to a nachri hamakiro, so he's going to give you back some taiva in exchange. So then it's considered you're getting hanof in the basa b'chalav. If I just leave the package in the hallway, and one of the goyim will take it, the Jewish people are not going to take it as basa b'chalav. One of the goyim will take it. So I don't think that's an issa. I think the issa to give a matas chinim to a nachri means to develop a yedidus, to show a friendship to a specific nachri. But if I don't show anything, I'll just leave it there and I'm off good and I walk away. So I don't think you have to throw it in the garbage. You don't have to destroy it. You leave it in a location where a guy is going to pick it up. So Shoy, I don't think you're in violation of Lo Sechanim if you have no shaykhs but the nachri. You're not striking up a friendship by leaving it there.
I thought that someone who cooks the major Shabbos, the Kelim or Aser,
we paskin, if you cook on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat the food. That's a penalty from the Rabbanan.
Right.
We paskin this from the Rabbanan. That's a discussion whether the Kelim are Aser, right?
No,
the Morgan Avram quotes a Chuvus HaRashba like that, that the Kelim are Aser. And Agudas Rabbanan many years ago wanted to Aser buying, there used to be Jewish bakers in New York who used to bake on Shabbos, then used to bake on Sunday also. So they wanted to aser that the Shomer Shabbos are not allowed to buy the bread that was baked on Shabbos because it was baked in Ezer. They're not allowed to buy the bread that was baked on Sunday because it has a Bliya Ben Yomo, the Bliya's Kalim, until 24 hours after Shabbos. So Ramosha Soloveitchik didn't let them make such an Issa because he thought that this Chuvus HaRashba was very difficult. Lemaisa, we're Mekel on that Chuvus HaRashba. We're not Machman the Bliya's kin. Then the Gemara is going to discuss additional cases. Why don't we apply this din? It only applies to basa b'chalav. It doesn't apply to mechal Shabbos Zayin. It doesn't apply to charish b'shar hachamor. Doesn't apply to the choisim pipar v'doshbo. Instead of $1,000 of tvua, you now have $5 worth of tvua. So, are there any other cases where it does apply? So the Gemara, klai zroim litzeru. There's a din of kloy hakerem, and there's a din of kloy zroim. If you plant grapes, Minatora, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. If you plant grapes on this side of this field, and you plant tvua on this side, so if you have a fence separating in between, you can plant the grapes up until the fence, and you can plant the tvua up until the fence. If the fence falls down, or there was no fence, you're planting the grapes over here in close proximity to the tvua, so that's an iser kloy hakerem. So there's an aver, you're not allowed to plant it. And even if you planted it, even if it grew by itself by accident, it also becomes asa b'achila, asa b'hano. What if you plant kloy zeroim? I planted together tomatoes and potatoes and all. You didn't make a harchoke. So it's also to plant it. Kloy zeroim is also to plant it. But once you planted it, whatever grew is muta b'dieved. The isa b'dieved is only on kloy hakir. We mentioned, I think, a few weeks ago when we were learning the Gemara earlier, there is a machlekes Rashi and Tosis where the kloy zeroim, to plant different vegetables in close proximity to each other where there's no grapes, is that an isa deraisa, an isa derabana? So Rashi's opinion is that kloy zeroim bechlal is only an isa derabana. And that's why the Gemara, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's only derabana, so they never instituted the isa in chutzlords. They instituted midirabana, and you're not allowed to plant kloy hakerem in chutzlords. Kloy Zeroim in Eretz Aguf is only the Rabbanon, so they never were machmet to Asr and Chutzlart. And Tosfos disagrees very strongly with Rashi. Tosfos said it's not correct. Kloy Zeroim, there are two psukim. One is Karma Cholos Izrikalayim, and one is Sot Cholos Izrikalayim. So Karma goes on Kloy Hakerem, where there's grapes, where there's a vine. And Sot Cholos Izrikalayim goes on Kloy Zeroim, if you plant vegetables near each other. So Tosfos holds that it's an Issa Deraisa. But that's the din, the b'dieved. If you did it, the peris will be muta. If you planted kloy hakerem b'dieved, it's asa. Asa b'achila v'asa b'ana. But if you plant kloy zrayim b'dieved, it's muta. And then the Gemara says that whenever guys are in chutzlor, it's on kloy zrayim, because in Eretz Aguf it's not as chomer as kloy hakerem, because b'dieved it'll be muta. That's the reason the Gemara gives in Kedusha. Gemara doesn't give Rashi's reason, because kloy zrayim even in Eretz Aguf is only midirabanan. So that's why they didn't introduce chutzlars. Mo doesn't give that reason. Mo says because kloy zeroim in Eretz is not as chomer as kloy hakerem. So here the Gemara, this Gemara is also the favorish like Tosfos. The kloy zeroim is an isa deraisa. So that's what the Gemara affect Akasha. That was the kasha. Why not say it should be toyevos? Even b'dieved it should be also. Why did you just say you're not allowed to plant kloy zeroim, but b'dieved whatever grows is muta? You should say it's a kol sheti after l'chol should be also even b'dieved. Kloy Zeraim litzeru, let it be also Rafila b'dieved, toti afti l'chohu, let it be l'sachu kol teva, kol shati afti l'cho, and for the Gemara can't be, midigoli rachman gabi kloy hakerem, the Torah revealed to us, the Torah was megala to us, that kloy hakerem is also b'hano, because it says, pen tugdash hamaleya, azera shatizra, said pen tugdash, tugdash means it will become also. Kodesh means also. So the Gemara has a drasha pentukaresh, that if you planted kloy hakerem, you have to burn it. It's min on israfim. The Rari Suri Hanoah, all these around are divided into two categories. That's the Mishnah and the Leah's daf and Temura. Half of them on israfim and half of them on igbarim. Some of them you have to dafke burn. Orlo and kloy hakerem is a din, you have to burn it. And basa b'chalav, there's no din, you have to burn it. You just throw it in the garbage. That's min on igbarim. There's no mitzvah to burn it. Chametz on Pesach is a machleik of Satanai. Rabbi Yehuda holds ain't beer chametz ala b'sreif, it's a mitzvah to burn it. And the chachamim disagree, and it's a machleik of Sintesis. How we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ain't beer chametz ala b'sreif? The common practice is everybody burns their chametz. Yeah, so we're machma like Rabbi Yehuda. And many of the Balei HaTesis hold we don't really paskin like that. That's only a chumra. We really paskin hash b'sasa b'chol dover. How do you know that kloy hakerem is asa b'hanoah and it's ton sreifa? So that's based on this pasuk. It doesn't really say that. It says in the pasuk you shouldn't plant. This is a karma chakalayim. You shouldn't plant kloy hakerem pen tugdash hamaleas hazera shetizra atuas hakorem. Lest it'll become asa b'achila pen tugdash it'll become asa. So the Gemara has a drush on the word tukdash tukaresh. If it'll become kloy hakerem, you'll have to burn it. You have to burn it, so it's a dead giveaway that it's asa b'hanoah. The Torah is not going to tell us to burn something if it's muta b'hanoah. Why should I burn something that has a shavius? If it's asa b'hanoah, so I'm not allowed to gain any benefit from it, so then it makes sense to burn it. So the Gemara says, since midigoli rachmona gabi kloy hakerem, the Torah reveals to us, the Torah tells us a pasuk that if you have kloy hakerem, you have to burn it, that it's asa b'hanoah, you have to michlal, the inference is, the kloy yisraim sharu. If anything less than kloy hakerem, it's only kloy zeroim, it's only also to plant it, but shor b'dieved, it'll be mutter. So that's why it's not included in the pasuk of l'sechel kol teyev kol sheti apti l'cho. Freg the Gemara, why not? There's no contradiction. The ema, maybe we should say kloy hakerem asurim be'machila be'mahano. It says pentugdash, and we darshan pentukaresh. You have to burn it. Burn it is clear that it's asabano. If it would have been mutabano, it doesn't make sense. It's a baltashchis. Why should you burn it? So you see, it's asabano. So maybe that's the story. Kloy hakerem, you're not allowed to plant in it. If you did, it's asabano. And kloy zraim, you're not allowed to plant in it. If you did, it'll be asabachila because of lasechu kol te'eva. But it'll be mutabano because minigali rachmona by kloy hakerem, it's asabano. So you see that kloy zraim is mutabano. How do you know it's mutabachila? That's the Gemara's kasha ve'ema. Maybe I should say kloy hakerem asurim be'machila be'mano, but kloy zraim bachila asir be'mano asharu. Maybe I should say that kloy zraim, not only is it also to plant it in Eretz Yisrael menatar, it's also to eat it b'di'evet, but it'll be mutabano. And for the Gemara, no, it can't be. Why not? Because iskish lekloy behema. They're written in the same pasuk. Behem tocholas ebi'a klaim, sot cholas izu klaim. They're both written in the same pasuk. When you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, we assume there's a connection. That's called a hekesh. If you have two dinim written in two pasukim that are next to each other, that's called a smuchim. So smuchim, we only darshan smuchim basically in chumish dvar. But hekesh, if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's a hekesh. So since the two dinim are written in the same pasuk in Vayikra, behem tocholos habia klaim, sot cholos izri klaim. So just like, let's say, I breed two animals, one on the other, and they give birth to a Vlad. So is the Vlad osabano? So Gemara says no, the Vlad is mutabano. So Vlad is mutabachila. Mutabachila, mutabano. So just like by kiloi behema, if I breed two different animals together and they give birth to a Vlad, the Vlad is mutabachila, mutabano. So too, sotchol is his rekilayim. If you planted kiloi zroim, you're not allowed to do it, but if you did, it'll be mutabachilo. Just like the Vlad by Harboaz Behemos. Ma behemtucho hayotze mimena muteris. If you breed two different animals, the Vlad will be mutabachilo mutabano. Absotcho by kloi zroim, hayotze mimena muter. Frag the Gemara, how do you know that? Who told you that by kloi behema? Why shouldn't kloi behema also be included in losochu kol te'eva? Torah prohibits us from breeding two different minim together, mixing two different minim. So maybe if you breed them together and they give birth to a Vlad, maybe should be included in the pasuk l'soch kol te'eva. Frek the Gemara, kolei behema gufay min olon. How do you know that that's mutabachilo? That you go further and you say that just like kolei behema is mutabachilo, the hayotze mimenu, so the kolei zraim is also mutabachilo. Maybe kolei behema is also based on l'soch kol te'eva. Zag the Gemara can't be. We have drushes in the psukim in the beginning of Chumash Vayikra. It says if a person wants to donate min abokar min atzon takrivos korbanchem, so the Gemara says min is a miut, some bokar and some tzon but not all. So when motzi we exclude various animals may not be used for karbonis. So one of the animals that's cancelled is kilayim. If a kosher animal, it's a kosher animal. Let's say a breed between a goat and a sheep. Goat and a sheep are both kosher animals, and they're both behemadaka, so they can mate, they can have a vlad. So if you're going to have a kaloi behema, you can be makar of a goat as a cub, you can makar of a sheep as a cub. But if you have a hybrid between the goat and the sheep, that's a pasuk. Klaim is a psul for hakrava on the mizbeach. So from the fact that you need a pasuk, if kaloi behema, the flood is also bachilos, of course you can't bring it as a carbon. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel that says, you can only bring karbanis mimashke Yisrael, from kosher food that Jewish people are permitted to eat and to drink. So you're allowed to bring such wine on the Mizbech and such animals. But if the animal of Kloy Behema would be Asa Bachila, it would be knocked out. Of course you can't bring it as a carbon. It's Asa Bachila. So in the fact, that's how the Gemara says, Min the Asa Rachmana Klaim Lagavaya, from the fact that we need a Pasuk to tell us that an animal that's a hybrid, that you're not allowed to be marked, but it's a carbon, the inference is clear that it's Muta Bachila. If it would have been Asa Bachila Lahedyot, so you don't need a Pasuk to say that it's Pasuk Lagavaya. The fact that I need a pasuk to say you can't be makar of an animal which is a hybrid, a klaim, as a korban, mechlal, the inference is the lehed yachari. Craig the Gemara Viter, what's the din of osav as benoi? I think this is the last one. Craig the Gemara, what's the din? There's a din of chumash osav as benoi lo sish chatu b'yaymechot. You're not allowed to shech the mother and the vlad on the same day. We said if he shech, the way it says in Chumash, Oso, Shorvisa, Oso, the father, that's a Sveik of the Dina. Whether Osev Ezbena applies to the father or only to the mother. So if one shechts the father and the Vlad, it's osad, but you wouldn't get malchus. The mechaber says, but shech the mother and the vlad, that for sure you get malchus. So frag the gemara, what's a din if you went ahead and you violated the din? You shech the osad v'ezbeno, so you violated the averet. Would you say that b'diyevet you're not allowed to eat the animal that you shecht it? So the gemara assumes that it's mutter. Frag the gemara, why? But the Torah prohibits us, you're not allowed to shech the osad v'ezbeno, so why not treat it as a dova hametuav? That's the gemara's kasha. Let it be asur, based on the pasuk l'selcha kol teyeva. And for the Gemara, I have a pasuk in the middle of Vayikra that tells me that if you shech the carbon osav yezbeno, they're both carbonists. The mother is a carbon and the vlad is a carbon. So if you shech them both on the same day, the carbon is pasul. The second one, the first one was behechsher, but the second one you shech on the same day was shechted be iser, so that carbon is pasul. That's called mechusas man. There are a few kinds of mechusas man. So one mechusas man normally is when a behemah is born, shara kesav eis ki valid v'haya shivas yamim tachasino yamim shmini v'hali yiratza the carbon isha hashem. If you shecht an animal as a carbon before the eighth day, that's pasul even b'di'evet. You're not allowed to do it. And if you shecht it, it's pasul b'di'evet. That's called mechusas man. Then there's another mechusas man. The animal is 3 years old. The animal is 2 years old. It's not within the first 8 days, but I shecht osav ezbeno on the same day. So once I shecht one, I'm not allowed to shecht the other one on the same day. So if I shecht on the same day, that'll be pasul b'di'evet. Not only am I in violation of shechting the aver of shechting osav ezbeno, the carbon will be pasul. So the Gemara says, midosav rachmanem mechusas man lagavoya, from the fact that you have a pasuk that tells you if you shechted an osav ezbeno on the same day, it's possible for a carbon. Mechlal, the inference is the lehed yachari. If, as far as eating it, it would be kosher. If eating it, if you're going to say it's osav b'achila because l'selchu kol te'eva, so I don't need a pasuk to say that it's a pasul a carbon. Whatever is treif is not is a violation of mashke Yisrael. That's the pasuk in Yecheskel. You can't be makar as carbonis, non kosher food. So the Gemara explains why the lava of L'Selcha Kol Te'eva doesn't apply to all of these cases. Either you have a pasuk by Shabbos, or you have a Kal V'Chomer, or some of the others you have the fact you have a raya that the din doesn't apply. There's one more case we didn't finish yet. Gemara Shiloh Hakan Litza. What Shiloh Hakan? Shiloh Hakan is a person is walking on Kimate Baderech, a person is going on the highway, and then he sees Eim Yoshebes ala Efrechim or ala Beitzim. There's a nest, and the mother bird is sitting on the Beitzim or on the Efrechim. So there's a lot, L'sikachim ala Bonim. You're not allowed to take the mother with the birds. Shalech to Shalach Hasayim. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, we have a din of lava nitekles. If a person violates an avera, and after violating the avera, then he becomes obligated to fulfill a mitzvah. Take for example, you're not allowed to steal something. Then the Torah says, if you did steal, v'heshev v'sagzeilo. The Gemara says, that's an example of a lava nitekles. You're not allowed to violate the avera, and if you violate that avera, then a new mitzvah sase springs up, v'heshev v'sagzeilo, so you don't get malchus. If you do the mitzvah sase, you don't get malchus. What's over here? Is this a lav hanitekles or is this a lav shekobno esi? We learned in the end of Makkos. We learned Masechet Makkos. So the Gemara says the simple reading of the pasuk is shalech to shalach asayim. When you're walking on the highway, send away the mother, and then it says don't take lesikachem alabon. So it sounds like the essay comes first. So that's a lav shekobno esi. So that shouldn't qualify as a lav hanitekles. Lav hanitekles, you don't get malchus only after having violated the law, then the essay is noila. Then the essay comes in. But over here, the essay existed before violating the law. Shalech to shalach asayim. So the Gemara explains it's not so. This is not a law shekad ma'aseh. This is a law hanitek la'aseh. The din first says, l'sikachem alabonim. You're not allowed to take the name alabonim. And if you did take, then the essay shalech to shalach sets in. So that's an example of a law hanitek la'aseh. That's a left us. This perik in Chulin is about Shiloh Hakan. That's the end of the perik. Talks about one of the last Mishnayos. Talks about the fact that Shiloh Hakan is a lava nitek lese, and therefore takes off the malchus. So the Gemara asks like this: if the person took the aim alabanim, so he violated avera, and after having violated avera, then he's supposed to rectify it by sending away the mother. Maybe I should say like this: if you took Eim Alabonim, they both become Aser. Lo'sochel kol ta'eva, you're not allowed to eat. But then even though they both become Aser, so the Torah says you got to send away the mother. That's a mitzvah. But the one that you have left behind, the mother's going to fly away. Who knows where she's going to go? But the bonim that you have, why not say that they should be Aser b'achila? I violated the sikh Eim Alabonim. I violated out there by taking the mother with the bonim. So why not say, Freg de Gemara, Shiluch HaKan Litzer, if I violated the law of Lesikach, even though I have a mitzvah afterwards to send away Shalech to Shalach HaSeim, it's a law of Nitigles, a Deseb Shalech to Shalach sets in after having violated the law. But why don't you say, the moment he violated the law, the Eim Alabonim, they both became Moshe Bachila, and you shouldn't be allowed to eat it. We never heard of such a din. The din is that it's not true. And for the Gemara, it can't be. Because the Torah says, after having taken the Eim Alabanim, you have to send away the mother. So if you're going to say they both become Aser, then you're going to send away the mother. So if someone is watching, and he sees that's the bird that you sent away, so he can't take the mother, he can't trap the mother to eat it. It can't be. If the Torah says that you're supposed to send away the Eim, Shalech to Shalach HaSeim, after having violated the Aveira, the Torah says send away the mother. If you say the mother became Aser, so someone's going to eat the mother, be Aser. So you see from the pasuk that the mother is mutter and the male of the vlad is mutter, everything is mutter. There's no prohibition by the Yevon. There's no, the din of Lasechel Kol Ta'eva doesn't apply to Lokech Eim Alabon. In Osav Yezbeno, in Yerideya, they quote the Halachas Gedolos, the Bal Halachas Gedolos, when the days of the Goyim, he thinks that you're not allowed to eat. If you violated Osav Yezbeno, Shech the both on the same day, you're not allowed to eat the second one on the same day. You have to wait till tomorrow to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it today. So they explain, and some say, according to the Bahad, you're not allowed to eat either. Not the first, even though you've shechted the first one, they had the gomer. Once shecht the second one, comes out that the aver was on both. So you're not allowed to eat either today. You have to wait till tomorrow to eat either of them. So that's a knas min de rabbonim. That the gemara said the feirish. Osav es benoi, min haTorah, there is the din of l'sochel kol ta'eva doesn't apply, and the halachas gedolos holds that that's a penalty mid the rabbanon. Like the Gemara proved that if you cook food on Shabbos, there's no issa min haTorah, but there's a penalty mid the rabbanon, not to eat the flesh that you, not to eat the food that you cooked on Shabbos. So not to eat the osav hezbanon should also be part of that penalty mid the rabbanon. That's the chiddush of the halachas gedolos that they quote in every day.
Take the
banner,
and no reason for sending away the mother first, because they did not take both simultaneously. They just took the
banner. No, you're supposed to send away the mother. It's an essay to send away the
mother. So then it doesn't sound like a lot
of
essay, because it sounds like first you do that.
Right. So the Gemara says there is an essay first, and then there's another essay. And if you did take Eim Alabanim both together, then there's an extra word in the pasuk that says Shalech to Shalach is written twice. You have to send it away even afterwards. The Gemara explains you shouldn't consider it a lav shekodmo essay. It's a lav anitikla essay. The essay springs up anew after having taken both together. Okay. This is some Gemara. No, you created this matzav that you have trapped both of them. You grabbed both of them together before they were free, and you trapped. You were the sikach heim alabanim. You took both of them together. So that's a matzav that the Torah doesn't want us to create. That's why. That's why, when the Bahag said that there's a chumrah midrabbanim, that if you shech dos ve'zbeno, so the Bahag says there's a penalty midrabbanim not to eat the animal, which one? So some Acharim said the second one. Whatever you shechted first is beheta gomer. And other Acharim say no, they're both osa, because the aver is on both. Not to bring about such a matzav that the osa v'ezbeno are both geshochten on the same day. So they're assuming that the osa v'ezbeno is an isa chalos, not to bring about such a pula. Shabbos is not an isa chalos. Shabbos is an isa pula. That's what the Gemara says. You have a pasuk that lo sechu kol teva doesn't apply in the case of Chilul Shabbos, and any other Yisad Pula will be a Kavachimah from Shabbos. But all the others, why didn't the Gemara just say Kavachimah from Shabbos and Patra Nesin? So that's what the Ritva says, no. All the others are in Yisad Chalo. It's not to bring about a matzav of having an Osili Yezbenon.
What if I want to just take the mother?
I think also not allowed to. I think it's also not permissible.
There's no way to do it.
There's no way to take it.
I think you're not allowed to. That's going to be the last parak. I think you're not allowed to. Yeah. We have different minhagim by Achasene that are all based on the concluding pasuk in Parshas Toldos. That Yitzchak Avinu gave the bracha to Yaakov Avinu, and then he told him, "You should go get a good shidduch, go back to my family and Aram Naraim, and go get a good shidduch from the good people over there." Vayar Esav, the next to the last pasuk, Esav sees Kiroz Benos Kon Beni Yitzchak Aviv. He sees that the father is a makpid that Yaakov shouldn't marry a nochris, so he goes. He was already married to non-Jewish women. Esav has already previous wives. So he goes and he marries a girl with a big ichus. He marries Machlas Bas Yishmael ben Avram. He marries an eidikel from Avram Avinu. Because he hears that Yitzchak is makbid, that Yankov should marry a Jewish girl. So he goes and he marries the daughter of Yishmael. So the Rashi has two comments on the word Machlas. You have in the Meforshim on the Chumash, they say there are two ways to pronounce the name. Some say the correct pronunciation is Machlas with a comment on the mem. And others say the correct pronunciation is Machalas. So Rashi has two pshatim corresponding to these two pronunciations. So the one pronunciation is Machalas Miloshen Mechila. So from this pasuk we derive that when a chasen kala get married, it's like a day of Mechila Savoinas. Her name was not really Machalas, it's a nickname. When he got married to her, he got a Mechila Savoinas. And the other pshat that Rashi quotes is on the assumption that the correct pronunciation is machalas with a patach under the mem. So machalas sounds like a loshen machla. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Hosef Risha al Rishosa. He married another witch. He was married to a whole bunch of witches from before, all Marshasin. And now Hosef Risha al Rishosa. Nocha machla. He married another machla. That's what Rabbi Shulei Diskin points out. That the two pshatim and Rashi seem to correspond to the two pronunciations. Is the correct pronunciation Mochalas or the correct pronunciation is Machalas? So by Chasinus we have different minhagim. So many have a minig that on the day of the Chasana, the Chasin Kala say Vidui. Why do they say Vidui? Because when you have a Mechilas Avainos, you only have a Mechilas Avainos if the person does Tshuva. And he says Vidui. If he doesn't do Tshuva, there's no Mechila. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva that when a person gets Mises Bezdin, so he gets a kapara, but the Mishnah says, Kolam umasa misvadim. Before Bezdin administers the Mises Bezdin, he should say Vidui, because if you're not going to say Vidui, he doesn't do Tshuva, then the Mises Bezdin will not be Mechaper. When Bezdin gives Malkus, so they tell him, you better say Vidui, do Tshuva. If you don't do Tshuva, so that Malkus is not going to be Mechaper. And the same thing the Rambam says when you bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash, you have to say vidui. You don't say vidui, you don't do the tshuva, so the korban is not going to be mechaper. Yom Kippur is a machlekes hatanoim, where the Yom Kippur is mechaper even if you don't do tshuva. So the Rambam adopts the position. Most of the Rishonim adopt the position. The Yom Kippur is not mechaper unless you do tshuva. And the Mahalach Dalan Amos Beretz Yisrael, the Gemara learns that from the pasuk, the Chipar Ad Mosay Amoy, the concluding pasuk in Shiras Hazinu. So the Gemara in the end, the Ksubas understand v'chipar ad masay amoy. When a Jew walks dal an amos and Eretz Yisrael, gets a mechilas avinus. So the Pnei Yeshua says that don't think that an apikoros is going to walk dal amos is going to get a mechilas avinus. Self understood. If he does tshuva, if he does new tshuva, so living in Eretz Yisrael is not going to be mechaper anything. So the same over here, the yom hachasana can function as a kapara. The chasana functions as kapara if he says vidu, if he does tshuva. So then we have a minig also in addition to the vidui, the chosin, many have a minig that he wears a kittel, like on Yom Kippur, to represent Mechilas Avinus. Maybe you have a minig, a very old minig, that the chosin fasts. Chosin fasts on the Yom HaChasin. In fact, there's a discussion that Behetiv quotes. We have a minig not to fast during Chodesh Nissen, even if you have Yortzai. Because the whole Chodesh Nissen is like Chodesh Agula, the whole, we don't say Tachnun, the whole Chodesh Nissen. It's like a yontav. The whole Chodesh Agula is a yontav. But what if someone gets married in Chodesh Nissen? So the Behetiv quotes, some Achreinim say that the minig that a chasen fasts is older than the minig not to fast during Chodesh Nissen. So that takes precedence. So a chasen that gets married in Chodesh Nissen should fast. Yortzeit not. The fast on the Yortzeit is after. Came after the minig. But the fast, a chasen should fast the Yom HaChasana because it's a Mechilas Avinus. So some Achreinim say That minig preceded the minig, not the fast in Chodesh Nissan, and the Chassan should fast. We have all of these minhagim are based on this Yerushalmi and Bikurim that Rashi quotes on the pasuk that one who gets married can acquire a mechilas avayinus. No? We can all use a mechilas avayinus. Yeah.
On this Rabbah Aver of last week, he said there has to be a chafetz shel isra.
Right.
But in the Gemara, when Rabbi Eliezer was the shachar, he had a kedali to make a minyan.
Yeah, the Gemara yes speaks of Rabbah Aver. Pashe Pshat, that's a different kasha. Pashe Pshat, the Sri Yeshu writes like this. We have two principles that seem to contradict each other. We have a din, Esed Dech Alay Seseh, that you're allowed to do the Aveira in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Then you have a din, that the mitzvah of Aveira is not good. How do they jive? Why don't you say Senishkan Aveira? So the rule is, whenever it's the same time, then the Esed is Dech Alay Seseh. Whenever first you do the Aveira, that enables you to do the mitzvah later. There's no heter to do the Aveira. Then it's called the mitzvah of Aveira. So that was the Gemara's Kasha, Akani free, the slave. He didn't mean that it's a mitzvah above Avera that you're not yotzei the mitzvah, and then it's not Esed Dechalai Seseh because it's not simultaneous. The mitzvah comes later, the Avera comes first, so you don't allow Esed Dechalai Seseh.
The Olam Behem Tovedu, that's the issue.
Yeah.
So you can mitzvah the Rabbah.